Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Medina.
Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Praise God. And let's go to verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to read from the New King James Version, just so that you know. And it reads, "This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Ophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters." Now look at verse 5. "But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although," look what it says, "the Lord had closed her womb." Notice that the Bible says, although the Lord, so this is the Lord, had closed her womb. And then it says in verse 6, "And her rival," that's the other wife, "also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb." My title this morning is, "Great things happen when you pour your heart out to the Lord." Great things happen when you pour out your heart to the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now I want to share with you in this chapter, 1 Samuel. The Bible talks about Elkanah. And the Bible says in verse 2 that he had two wives. Now, you got to remember that in the Bible times, polygamy was just a fact of life in the ancient world. And there's a lot of examples we can give. Like we could talk about Abraham, Jacob, who had not one wife, but other wives. But you will find out, when there was polygamy, there was also a lot of strife and conflict. So chill, stay with one. Amen. Polygamy doesn't count no more in God's kingdom, the new covenant. Amen. You can't handle one, you want to handle two, three. Come on. And the Bible says that Peninnah, or Phinehas, she had children. Hannah had no children. Now, many believe that Hannah, I want to explain something, the one that could not have children was Elkanah's first wife. So then he got another wife, Phinehas, and she was able to have children. I want you to get that. Now, the name Phania or Phanina meant pearl, precious stones. But Hannah, look at her name, means grace, favor, or merciful. So, Hannah, the one that could not have children, the Bible says she was barren. At the moment, hear me, at the moment she could not have children. And you know that in the Bible, when they would name you something, it had a meaning to it. So Hannah, which means grace or favor, even though at the moment she was not able to have children, she had the favor of God on her life. I want you to get that. You might not have what you want to have. You don't have the manifestation, but you got to believe God that you have the favor of God because you serve him. Now, we're going to find out that it wasn't easy for Hannah. Phineas, I mean, as we'll see later on, but here, it wasn't easy for Hannah. She was provoked, made fun of, because she couldn't have children. And the other wife, she was able to. So you could just get a picture, imagine how everything went. Now, notice. The Bible says, Phanina had no children, had children, but Hannah had no children. And the husband would go yearly to worship, take his sacrifice to Shiloh. Shiloh was a place where the tabernacle was placed. That's where God dwelt. And it was 13 miles to where they were from, going to Shiloh, the tabernacle, where God dwelt. And the Bible says that Elkanah would go yearly to worship and sacrifice. Now, you got to remember this. He would take the sacrifice, but he wouldn't perform the sacrifice. That would be the priests. Eli had two sons, and the Bible says that they were wicked. In other words, they were doing things they should have not been doing, as we'll find out later on. But notice that Elkanah, he just did what was normal. Now, verse 4 says, and whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions. Now, think about this. Remember what I said earlier? Hannah means favor, grace, merciful. And it says here that Elkanah, it says, he would give portions to Phanina, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. Notice that it says, what does it say? Give portions. According to the number of children, the husband would give portions. I want you to get this. But then it says, but to Hannah, or Anna, Hannah, the one that her womb was closed, she was barren. Notice, that's what I'm talking about. See, God will always give you little glimpse, little taste of something bigger that's coming your way. And we find out that Elkanah, the Bible says, it says in verse 5, but to Hannah, he would give, look what it says, give what? A double portion. Think about that. The one whose womb is closed, the husband would give her, because the Bible says he loved her, would give her double portion. In other words, she's not able to have children yet, but because God's favor is on her life, God used her husband to bless her with double portions. And the Bible says, for he loved Hannah. And it says, I like it because it's nobody else. This is not man. This is not anything else. The Bible says, although the Lord had closed her womb. This was something direct from the Lord. Remember I said last time, there's times where God does something directly, and it's another thing when God permits. But the Bible here says that although the Lord had closed her womb. Now, think about this. It says that her rival, the other wife, Peninnah, would provoke her. I mean, she's getting a little bit of offering of double portion, but she ain't got no children. She wants children. And the other wife provokes her. The Bible says provokes her, but it says severely. It wasn't just anything. It was some hardcore provoking. To make her, notice what it says, miserable. So, I mean, there's times, church, hear me, where you can be provoked and you can be miserable. Did you hear me? I said there's times where you could be provoked and you could be miserable. But that only happens, hear me out, when you give it permission. Hallelujah. But if you learn how to close that door, and as a child of God, you know what to do, and we're going to see the way she did it. Amen. And matter of fact, she did it the right way. She did it the godly way. She didn't do it how she felt, how she thought. No, she did it God's way. And how many know that when you do it God's way, you will see results? Hallelujah. Now, it says, verse 7. So it was year by year. What does it say? Year by year. Come on, church. Imagine. How many times a day and for how long she was being provoked. There's some here that you can't even handle 2 days. 3 days. And the Bible says, but even though, hear me church, even though she was being provoked, and we're going to see, she was kind of like bitter. One translation says that she was discouraged. But the Bible says, year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord. What is that? That means that no matter what she was facing, but she will still go to the house of the Lord. You'd be surprised how people stop going to the house of the Lord for anything. She went up to the house of the Lord. It says that she provoked her. Again, there it is again. But the Bible says, therefore she wept and did not eat. With all pain and everything, she was being provoked. She would weep. Come on, church, how many have been there? You're being provoked. You're weeping. And there's times that you don't even want to eat. That's what happened to her. And notice how many are blessed that you have a spouse that can be an encouragement to your life. Praise God. But let me say something. But many times, he's not your savior. He can be, he or she can be an encourager, but he or she is not your savior. The only savior is Jesus Christ. You need to get that, church. The one that lifts you up, the ones that's there, many times he could only do so much. He or she could only do so much. Because the Bible says, look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you do not eat? And why is your heart grieved? This is on verse 8. Look what he says. Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Like saying, hey, you got me. You got me. You got it all. But let me tell you something that I've learned, church. A spouse is a blessing to your life, but he or she can do what only Jesus can do. I'm sorry to burst her bubble. Don't get me wrong. Your spouse is a blessing. But ain't nobody like do it like Jesus. Ain't nobody do it like Jesus. But look what the Bible says. So I could just imagine that Hannah, she's just listening to her husband. And this is what she did. Verse 9. So Hannah arose after they had, because remember she wasn't eating. They had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. Verse 10. And she was, what does the Bible say? Bitterness of soul. There was bitterness in her soul. Think about that. But even though there was bitterness in her soul, one translation says she was in deep anguish, crying bitterly. But the Bible says she prayed. Hear me, church. When you feel bitter, discouraged, you have deep anguish, you're crying bitterly, the greatest and the best thing you can do, hear me, is pray to God. She prayed to the Lord, and the Bible says she wept in anguish. You hear me this morning, church? You got bitterness, there's anguish, you're discouraged. Pray in your pain, your anguish, but to the Lord. Hallelujah. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's alive and well, and he lives and reigns forever, church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Because let me tell you something. There's something about when you are in the presence of God. Hear me. The atmosphere changes. There's nothing but power, the presence, the anointing of the Holy Ghost at that moment. God began to do something. In her bitterness, in her anguish, even look at the results. Look what happened. Verse 11. Then she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maid servant and remember me and not forget your maid servant, but will give your maid servant a male, then I will give him," look what he said. She says, "I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life." Notice, she made a Nazarene vow. But the difference here is that when they would make a vow to be a Nazarene, it would be just for such time, up to 30, 40 years. Here, she says, "I'm giving you my child forever." Now, you didn't get that. "I will give him to the Lord," what does it say? "All the days of his life." And you will find out later, she fulfilled what she said. Be careful what you ask for and fulfill what you tell the Lord in prayer. Because let me tell you something, God remembers. God remembers. And she says, "And no razor shall come upon his head." Verse 12. Look at how powerful this is. "And it happened as she continued," what? "Praying." Church, let me tell you something. Continue praying. I said continue praying. You know what that means? It means that it multiplies. She multiplied praying even more. She pumped up the volume in prayer. The prayer got intense. She kept praying. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." Don't stop, church. Keep on praying. And that's what she did. The prayer got intense. In other words, she went big. "If you give me a son, a child, he's all yours, God." And verse 13, the Bible says that Hannah, she was speaking in her heart. There was no noise, but her lips were moving. And when the priest Eli saw that, he thought that she was drunk. That's why many believe that there were women who would do crazy things in the tabernacle. And Eli at one point tells her, "How long will you be drunk?" It reminds you of what Paul said. "Be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." Because I don't need to tell you. Let's go a little bit to the world. When you're in the world and you get drunk, you become somebody else. Those who don't talk, don't stop talking. Those who never dance, all of a sudden you're dancing by yourselves. So you know what I mean. But when you're full of the Spirit, you do crazy things, say crazy things, but it's all for his glory and honor. It's all about kingdom business. You do crazy things. You do radical things. You say things you thought you would never say. You do things in the spirit you thought you would never say. Why? Because you are full of God. It was so bad that the priest said, hey, Hannah, put the wine away. But Hannah did the right thing. And she answered, no. No, my Lord. Look what she says. I'm not drunk. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink. Here it is, church. The title. But have poured out my soul before the Lord. See, some of you that are here, that's what you need to do, church. You want a breakthrough? You want to be free? You want God to open your womb? You got to pour out your soul to God. I didn't say man, to God. Pour out your heart to God. Pour out everything to God. Everything. And that's what she did. The Bible says, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, there's a scripture in Psalms 142 verse 2. The New Living Translation says it like this. I pour out my complaints before him, and I tell him all of my troubles. There's more people that spend more time telling their troubles or their complaints to man rather than God. And then you're saying, how come I don't see results? I don't see no change. You're going to the wrong source. I said you're going to the wrong source. It's time that you go to God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, do not consider, verse 16, your maidservant a wicked woman. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now. Think about that. Everything she was going through, what she felt, all that burden, everything, all that sorrow, all that crazy stuff, she poured it out to who? To the Lord. On church. You want results? You want change in your life? Pour it out to God. Even when it's hard, when it's tough and rough. I'm not talking about that old school rap, amen. So rough, so tough. No? But give it out to the Lord. And here it is, church. How many know? How many believe? And be real, church. When you pour out everything to God, you're going to see results. Let me put it this way. How many know that the moment you pour out your soul, everything to God, things begin to change? Things begin to change. How do I know? Because the Bible says in verse 17 that after she told the priest Eli, this is what the priest answered back in verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, Hannah, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. Everything began to change, church. Remember, how many remember the prayer of Jabez? You know what the Bible says? And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And look what it says at the end. So God granted him what he requested. And the priest Eli told the same thing to Hannah. May the God of Israel grant your petition. You probably missed it. Even straightly it says, may God grant him what he requested. That's what happens, church, when you pour out everything to the Lord. And the Bible says, this is what she said. Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. This is Hannah. Remember Hannah? Hannah means what? Grace. It means what? Favor. You know what the Bible says about that? When God gives favor, God gives grace. There's a scripture in the Bible that it says, give me grace before you, God, and with man. And that's what God did. Hannah, in the Bible, she says, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. God was already giving her favor. But now she tells Eli the priest, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. Now, I'm going to give you three things right here. Don't miss it. I'm going to give you three keys right here. You ready? Look what the Bible says. When you pour out your heart, look what it says right there. Number one, which I already talked about it, but just in case you forget, is that God would always give you favor and grace with God first and with man. You know that's in the Bible, right? Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 talks about that. That's what Hannah asked for. Number one, that's the first key. Second key. Because everything changes, church, hear me. When you pour out everything, you pour out your whole soul, your heart to God, everything begins to change. Remember that a while back she wasn't able to what? To what? To eat. Remember? All the family was eating KFC except her. But now, the Bible says, so the woman, look what the Bible says. Verse 18, I'm not making this up. So the woman went her way and what? And ate. Hallelujah. You know what that shows me? That God's doing something in me. Hallelujah. God's moving in my life. God is remembering me. And number three, her face was no longer sad. Hallelujah. See, because think about it. You don't eat, for sure you're going to be sad. No favor, no grace, because God's not in it. It's a horrible thing, church. But the Bible says her face was no longer sad. What happens, church, when you're joyful? When you praise God, you glorify God. God is doing something so everything begins to change in your life. You are no longer sad. Now you're smiling. Now you praise God. Now you know that God is up to something. God's about to do something in my life. And you know, these are the words that Jesus, he said, the words of Jesus. Until now, notice what the Bible says. Until now, you have asked nothing. in my name. Ask and you will receive. I'm telling you, how many know there? And then he says, that your joy may be what? Full. That's why she wasn't sad anymore. I believe that now she was full of joy because God was doing something in her life. And it gets better. I'm telling you, when you, I want you to get this, church. When you pour out your soul, your heart to God, God begins to do things quickly. Everything begins to change. Again, favor on her life. She ate, wasn't sad anymore, and it gets better. And you know what the Bible says? What happened? It says, the Bible says, verse 19, then, what does it say? Then they rose early what? In the morning. They rose what? Early in the morning. And what did they do? They worshiped. What is worship? Number one, when you worship God, in the Hebrew, literally, it means that you prostrate yourself before God. You submit to God. You humble yourself before God. You give reverence to God. You give him profound honor of who he is. Remember, church, I'm going to say it again. You probably forgot. Before anything else, you and I are worshipers of God. Even the Bible says in John 4:23, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking. Did you know that, church? Father God is seeking such to worship him. God is seeking worshipers that will give him that honor, that reverence of who God is. Are there any worshipers here this morning, church? I said, is there any worshipers here this morning? I'm going to give you some revelation that the Lord showed me. Now, when you worship God, I'm going to say this first because I wrote it down. When you worship God, worship is this, church, hear me. Worship always focuses on God only. Worship, you only focus on God only. On who he is. In other words, you're so focused on worshiping God that you're not thinking about anything else. You might not have what you're believing God for, and you're okay with it because your focus is only on worshiping God. Now, I want you to see this. Hannah, she didn't have the manifestation yet of her son. But she was already what? Worshiping. Even though Eli the priest told her, hey, may God be with you. May God grant you what you're believing. But remember that Hannah, she had already what? Poured out her soul to God. Now, why do I say this about worship? Because praise, worship is different to praise. Praise always celebrates what God has already done. See, here we don't see the word praise. We see the word worship. Hannah didn't have the child yet. Matter of fact, the Bible says that she was what? Barren. Not able to have children. But even though she didn't have what she was believing God for, in the meantime, she's what? Worshiping and focusing on God. Church, this morning, you might not have what you want yet, but stay focused on God and just worship him for who he is. I'm going to give you more. Remember Jesus in the desert? He fasted 40 days. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. I want you to see this. The Bible says, notice, the devil took him to a high. Notice, I want you to get this, church. If you get this, he took him where? To a high mountain. Hear me. And showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. That's why worship focuses on God only. When we don't worship God and we do our own thing. Have you ever heard the phrase that we could get off that high horse? You hear me? Get off that high horse. Because you're up here, but there's no Jesus. There's no God. The devil, the Bible says he took Jesus where? The high mountain. And showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory. See, that's what the world tells you. Hey, you don't need Jesus. You don't need God. The world will give it to you. But wait, look what he says. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you. Doesn't that man think that, hey, I could get everything out there. That's the lie of the devil. Hey, you don't need Jesus. You could get everything out there. And he told them, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. But how many know that we don't worship nobody else? We only worship God. I said we only worship God. We only worship Jesus. And look what Jesus tells them. I love this. He says, then Jesus said to him, hey, he says, away, get out of here. I'm paraphrasing. Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship. There it is. You shall worship the Lord your God. But then he says, and him only you shall what? Serve him. When we learn, church, to worship him and serve him only, God takes care of you of everything that you need. It's not the other way around, church. Without God, I can do it. And the enemy, he'll take you to high places and tell you, look, I'll give you all this. Look, you don't need Jesus. Matter of fact, don't worship Jesus. Worship me. Worship me. Put me first. Don't put God first. Put me first. The lie of the enemy. Look, I'll give you everything. That's the lie of the enemy, church, when he tells you, look, I'll give you everything. Just work more, just do this, just do that. I'll give. No. Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And the Bible says that Hannah, all of them, in the morning they worship before the Lord. They worship. Here it is. I'm going to give you three. I'm going to give you, and I'm going to finish. I'm not going to be able to handle this, but because these are the three. I already gave you one, the three keys. Always remember, church, before anything, you are a worshiper of God. I already gave you examples what worship does. What is worship? Worship focuses on who God is. Even though we don't have what we're believing God for. Hannah worshiped God even though her womb is closed. She's barren. She can't have children. But she's what? She's still worshiping God. And look what the Bible says. They worship before the Lord. And Here's a second key. Are you ready? How many know that you gotta take action? Did you hear me? You gotta take action. A lot of people, you know, we know the word, we quote the word, we talk about the word, but there's one thing we don't do sometimes. We don't take action. But the Bible says, as a matter of fact, the New Testament, the book of James, the Bible says that what? That we are doers of the word. We are doers, he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. You know what that means, church? I don't know if you know this, but when we just hear, but we don't do, the Bible says that we what? We deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. We're just, we know the word, we quote the word, but we don't do it. And the Bible says that when we don't do the word, we just hear it. The Bible says that you are deceiving yourselves. Did you know that Hannah, she could have said, you know what? I'll just worship. And I'll believe what the prophet or the priest Eli told me, and that's good enough. What did she do? Look what the Bible says. Right there, verse 18. So after they worshiped before the Lord, it says, and returned and came to their house, Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. That means that she got pregnant. I'll just put it that way. There was a revival. They did something. Because some of you still don't get it. She could have just said, okay, yeah, I poured out my heart. God's going to give me a child, a male. No. They what? They took action. The Bible says that Elkanah knew his wife. And she came out pregnant. And thirdly, here it is, powerful. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife. And the Lord, there it is, what does it say? Remembered her. Remember, she says, Lord, remember me. One thing, hear me, church. One thing, God, listen, God has never forgotten about you or left you. But it's another thing when God remembers you. Did you know that word remember in the Old Testament, it's everywhere? The Bible says, then God remembered Noah. Then Genesis 30:22, it says, then God remembered who? Rachel. She was barren too. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says about Rachel that God listened to her and opened up her womb. How many are believing this morning that God is remembering you? God's about to open your womb, church, this morning. Hallelujah. I said God is about to open your womb. Psalms 136:23 says this. They're talking about God, and look what it says. Who God remembered us. Look what the Bible says. God remembered us. Look what it says. I want you to get this. Us in our lonely state or in our weaknesses. Did you know that, church? That when you are in your lowest state or in your lowest weaknesses, God remembers about you. And then it says, why? Because his mercies endure forever. And the Bible says that in the process of time, Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel. Samuel means God, listen, God has what? Heard. That's what Samuel means. God has heard. God heard who? God heard Hannah when she poured out everything to God. I'm going to stop right there. We'll continue on the other one. If you took notes, church, or you didn't, go back and listen to it and get the pointers. How God works. God is awesome. God is mighty and powerful. And there is no one like him, church. And there will never be no one like him. Please stand.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.